You are listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshi on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
people.
Who you gonna turn to next?
Tell me.
People.
You gotta take a look at yourself, yeah. Get some people.
Where do you wanna be?
Where you wanna
tell
be?
Me what your life is.
What's with your life? Stop doing what you're doing to yourself, y'all. You got to learn to love yourself.
You are listening to African Perspectives, where we view the issues of our day from an African worldview and African-centered perspective. This program is unapologetically African. It is a custom in the African tradition to ask elders for permission to speak, having been granted permission. To our ancestors, whose shoulders we stand on, to our elders, whose shadows we walk in, I greet you, my dear brothers and sisters, in the language of one of the greatest civilizations on this planet. It gave the world the basic disciplines of knowledge of science, math, architecture, music, writing, law, religion, you name it, we did it. The Greeks called it Egypt, but they called themselves Kemet, and Kemet means land of the blacks. I greet you all in the Kemetic language, the word of peace, Hotep. It is truly an honor and a privilege to pour libation because we truly do stand on the shoulders of those who came before us. We're going to use water because water has no enemies. Water is the great cleanser, the great purifier. Everything on the planet that lives, it needs water, from a tiny microscopic organism to a tall redwood tree. We pour water into the earth to invoke the spirits of our ancestors, and we say the word Ashe. It simply means, so be it. So we pour this libation to God for all that God has done and for all that God will do. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to Mother Africa, birthplace of all humanity, everyone who has lived, everyone who will live in the future. We all have a common ancestral root in Africa. We pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. I mentioned Kemet in the opening. Kemet was the height, the apex, the zenith of African high culture. But there were others as well, as Timari, Punt, and Nubia. So we pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. You say Ashe? We pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa, of Ghana, Mali, Songhai, Benin, Great Zimbabwe, civilizations that were flourishing and growing while Europe was in a medieval or dark age. The University of Sankore at Timbuktu, an outstanding educational institution. So we pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to the Ma'afa, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the Infakani, the great tragedy, uprooted out of Africa. Our brothers and sisters lay a carpet along the Atlantic Ocean. We're in North America, South America, Central America, and throughout the diaspora. So we pour this libation to our brothers and sisters who suffered the Ma'afa, the Infakani, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the great tragedy. We pour this libation in their honor and in their memory. We do not know their names, but because of them and their sacrifice, we are here. So we say Ashe. We pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement. If you ever heard me do a libation, you will know that we were not slaves. I repeat, we were not slaves. We were captives. What does a captive want to do? Get free. So we pour this libation to all those men and women who fought against enslavement. In fact, I maintain that some of us are more of a slave today than we were in our initial captivity, because some of us are a slave to vice, to corruption, to drugs, sex, and violence. So we pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement, Gabriel Prosser, Nat Turner, Dingmark Vesey, Harriet Tubman. We always resisted, and we will always resist. So we pour this libation in the name and the honor of those men and women who fought against our captivity. We pour this libation to those unborn, those young men and women who will once again lead us back on the stage of human history as a free and proud and productive people. We sashe. We pour this libation to brotherhood and sisterhood, together for the union of family. We need each other. We don't have good family life. There's a saying, conditions shape conduct and consciousness. The conditions in our community are bad. The conduct towards each other is not good. Because why? We lack consciousness. And consciousness is more than just awareness. Consciousness is a deeper understanding of who you are historically, who you are culturally. So once we begin to understand the importance of brotherhood and sisterhood together for the union of family. Brothers and sisters, let us all say, Ashe, Ashe.
You are listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Good morning, African world. You are listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network, on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. And I am your host, Brother Oshi. Hotel family, I hope everything is well with you today. Hope you had a good weekend. Hope you had a chance to do all the things you wanted to do, need do, should do, must do, can do, and will do. And I hope the weather was accommodating for you to do it. But we, as we always say, if it wasn't, you got it done anyway, because that's the kind of brother and sister that you is. And that's why we love you and appreciate you, because of your tenacity, because of your perseverance. You don't procrastinate. You get it done. Keep getting it done. You're listening to African Perspectives. We're here every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., 10 to 12 Central, 9 to 11 Mountain, or 8 to 10 Pacific, any other time around the world. If you cannot listen to this program live, then you can always go to the archives at timeforanawakening.com. Look at the podcast for podcast. Click on that. Look at African Perspectives, which I had right at the top. Click on that, and then we have those programs that are dated and titled for you to peruse through there, and then click on one and get to listening. Hopefully that some of the information you may share, and that's what it's all about. Tell others about this program. Get others to listen in. Once again, this is African Perspectives. We're here every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Immediately following this program, on Monday and Wednesday, the Black People Matrix, Brother Franklin Jones. Mondays and Wednesdays from 1 to 3. And then on Fridays from 1 to 2, Esoteric Review with Sister Marcy Lee. Esoteric Review every Friday at 1 p.m., the Esoteric Review with Sister Marcy Lee. On Monday evenings from 6 to 8, Acres of Diamonds, Public Affairs Programming out of Philadelphia, Brother Wahad. Right after that is Let's Buy Black 365 from 8 to 9. And then from 9 to 10, Conversation, Reparations with Brother Jamoke and Sister Lacey. And then on Tuesdays, Black Reality Think Tank with Dr. William Rogers, Black Reality Think Tank from 8 to 10. On Wednesdays from 8 to 10, Revive with Sister POC, Proof of Consciousness, from 8 to 10 on Wednesdays. Thursdays, Relationships with Joy and Troy at 7 p.m. Relationships with Joy and Troy. If it's Friday and it's 8 p.m. Eastern, you know that's right. It's time for an awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard on Fridays from 8 until. And then on Sunday, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., no, it's not me. It is Sister POC and her program, Revive, on Sunday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. And then Sunday evening at 7 p.m., once again, it's time for an awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard on Sundays. And then every Monday through Friday at 10 p.m. Eastern time to 12 a.m., it's the Warren Valentine Show right here on Time for an Awakening Media. And the number to call is 215-490-9832, 215-490-9832. We Buy Black. We Buy Black, the largest online marketplace for American African-owned businesses, is WeBuyBlack.com. Get everything you need from American African-owned businesses from WeBuyBlack.com. They have all those products there that are produced by us. But if you are in the Atlanta area and you're near the Greenbrier Mall, which is right off Georgia Highway 166, then you can purchase those products from the We Buy Black kiosk in the Greenbrier Mall. They'll have the laundry detergent. They'll have the toothbrushes, toothpaste, the towels. They have all kinds of good stuff, the liniments, the soaps, the deodorant, batteries. Oh, man. WeBuyBlack.com. Africa for the Africans. Brother Bomani Taimba is recently returned, once again, from taking a group of our people to Ghana, West Africa. I'm not sure of the upcoming dates, but I'll get those dates for you, of upcoming tours for this year of 2020. He just returned from Ghana on the 4th, a couple days ago. So we'll chat with him and see how everything went and what's going to be coming up that you can take advantage of. That's right, that you need to take advantage of. If you want to see photos of recent tours, go to Facebook.com/Bomani. If you want to see videos, go to YouTube.com/Bomani2007 to see videos of previous tours. Also, too, Renoka Rashidi, my good brother, Dr. Renoka Rashidi, on his website, drrunoko.com. He has the two tours he's having this year. Well, I'm quite sure there may be others, but the two that he has posted, which is the first one coming up January 21st to February 4th, Senegal, Gambia, and Guinea-Bissau. The treat in Senegal, and that's the first point that's the first place you're going to visit is Senegal, and that's going to be in January 21st. And they have a treat for you. You're going to be visiting the Radiocarbon Dating Laboratory, established by the great scholar and historian, a warrior scholar, Dr. Sheikh Anta Diop. You know, so that's an exciting thing. And of course, then you're going to go on to Gambia, where Jofare, Dikembe Belongo, Kunta Kinte, and Gambia, and then Guinea-Bissau. So you have three trips, and the cost of that is $3,800. And I believe there might be some room left on that, but contact Brother Renoka Rashidi. Contact him on Facebook, or contact him on email, drrunoko.com. And then, of course, the second trip this year is October 5th through the 16th, going to Rwanda and Uganda, and that is for $4,100. And it's beautiful. You just go online, please. Go online and look at the photos he has posted of these two beautiful places. I mean, telling you, man, you know, all these misconceptions about what Africa is and what it isn't, it's just despicable. Beautiful pictures. Going to Uganda and Rwanda. So check that out. Renoka Rashidi, drrunoko.com. Shrine of the Black Madonna, located in the West End here in Atlanta. The Shrine of the Black Madonna, they got it all. They got furniture. They got clothing. They got the red, black, and green shoes. Kwanzaa ended, but you can best believe that if you are looking for Kwanzaa kits for next year, they got them with the candles and all. Okay? They got an African Holocaust Museum, and they also have the African History Program of Know Thyself every Saturday from 1:30 to 3:30. Free and open to the public every Saturday from 1:30 to 3:30. If you can't make that, but you'd like to get that information, they have a history club, the African History Club Multimedia Library, which is now 7 terabytes of African enlightenment. Man, I had the 4.5, so I'm still 2.5, and that was a lot. Couldn't get through it. I mean, this is dynamic, brothers and sisters. So please check out the Shrine of the Black Madonna, located in the West End. The number to call is 404-549-8676. 404-549-8676. Their store hours are Wednesday through Saturday, 12 to 7, Sunday from 1 to 3, and they're closed on Mondays and Tuesdays. The other bookstore that I promote is Medu Bookstore in the Greenbrier Mall. In fact, if you're by the kiosk of We Buy Black, then you can see the Medu Bookstore. That's right there. the Meddu Bookstore by the kiosk by the We Buy Black in the Greenbrier Mall, and they have all kinds of books. Give them a call. If there's a book that you're looking for, they may have it. If not, they'll get it for you, believe me. And the number to call is 404-346-3263, 404-346-3263. Black Dot Cultural Center and Bookstore in Lithonia. My good brother Kazimde Ajamu is the proprietor, and they have all the stuff as well. They got the books, the T-shirts, they got the red, black, the gas shoes. They got them. And the number to call is 404-519-8107, 404-519-8107. Us Lifting Us, the Economic Development Cooperative for our people in the spirit of Ujamaa Cooperative Economics, or as we like to say, Family Center Economics. Brothers and sisters, our convention is coming up in March. I'll give a lot of information on that and have people on from Us Lifting Us on the broadcast with me to talk about that in its future. But also, too, every Thursday night at 9 p.m., check out Us Lifting Us on Blog Talk Radio. The number to call is 929-477-2789. 929-477-2789. Us Lifting Us, the Economic Development Cooperative for our people in the spirit of Ujamaa, or as we like to say, family-centered economics. We have the two conferences coming up with Baba Baruti and his lovely wife, Ya. Relationships 101 for Brothers, given by Baba Baruti. The workshop will focus on preparing for relationships, selecting a compliment, sustaining a relationship, dating a marriage, and it's going to be facilitated by Baba Baruti. And Relationships 101 for Sisters, the same thing, and that'll be facilitated by Yah. And the date is Saturday, February 1st, from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. at Occupant Institute. Speaking of Occupant Institute, they're doing an outstanding job of educating our young warriors, but they need your help. They get no money. No money. And then do they seek it? They solely depend upon us, as we should be, to be independent. So please send check or money order to Occupant Institute, P.O. Box 10786, Atlanta, Georgia, 30310. Occupant Institute, P.O. Box 10786, 30310. If you want to use Cash App or PayPal, $YAAMBARUTI, and make your donation in that way. And you can, of course, do that monthly. So support Occupant Institute. Sister Gabby in the northeastern port in the rural portion of Haiti, she desperately needs our help. Please go to our website, see the beautiful children being educated. See what they're doing in terms of health care. See what they're doing in terms of providing food for the families and so forth in these areas. Sanjay-Haiti.org. Sonjay-Haiti.org. Sanjay-Haiti.org. Go online, check it out, and you will agree. The Black Talk Radio Network Project, the Media Fund, Black Talk Radio Network, and, of course, Brother Scotty Reed, and we're trying to make sure that we raise funds so that the Black Talk Radio Network, along with all the other networks that are involved with Black Talk Radio Network, mine's included, continue to thrive and grow and get more listeners, because that's what time it is, and you know it. Yes, brothers and sisters, the Yenye Sesim of Daily Revolutionary Thought. Yesterday, January 5th, the key to self-defense against their genocidal designs is knowledge of the intent of our enemy. Nana Kuntu. Enemies is a term which African warrior scholars need to remember when thinking about the Europeans and every other people who have proven their malicious intent relative to us. It can become instrumental in helping to frame our thinking in terms of our mission. At the same time, we have to think about how this term affects others in our community, not as knowledgeable of our story as his story. When you use the word enemy in reference to Europeans in conversations with Negroes or lost souls, they flinch, tense up, and instinctively feel repulsed by your utterance. They cannot conceptually conceive of Europeans in such terms. In their mind, the question becomes, how can the people who birthed you into civilization from barbarism, who nurtured you into a progressive conscious intelligence from primitive ignorance, who so generously shared their sperm and blood with you, who gave you the gift of salvation through their religion, be the same people trying to destroy you? The concept of enemy cannot make sense to them. And until we fully comprehend the depths of this basic mental-cital confusion, they will remain a dangerous enigma to us. Once understood, Europeans become little more than frightened, reactive children we have to tolerate when we, as African people, identify, confront, and neutralize our enemies. Affirm, I know my enemies. Affirmed, I know my enemies. January 6th. Our problem is the disintegration of a sense of peoplehood. Our problem is the disintegration of a sense of peoplehood. Nana Balfour, Dr. Asa Hilliard, Nana Balfour. Sometimes we have to build families anew. There are warriors who have been rejected by immediate blood because of their commitments to be African. Fear of the known and the unknown drive those without knowledge of self harshly against those with it. We cannot allow others' fear distract us from building healthy, whole African families. We are not trying to fool ourselves with a false sense of purposeful heroism and delusions of being guerrillas for people conscious of their physical, psychological, and spiritual destruction. For we know, or at least should know, that the vast majority of African people want little, if nothing, to do with anything African. On this point, we must be truthful. If we are thoughtfully and objectively considered virtually any observable measure of our condition in this cultural wasteland, be it real or imagined, as a people, we continue to sink deeper and deeper into the more and more wretched states of menicide. As a people, we have become willfully collaborators in others' conspiracy to commit genocide against us. As re-Africanized nation builders, we do not have to look around the world to see the hatred of many Africans for us. All we need to do is look at our families and see the hatred for whatever is African that menticide brings. We can allow this to force us into isolation from the love of family. Sometimes we have to build family anew. Affirm, I am building a healthy, whole African family. Affirmed, I am building a healthy, whole African family. Wow. I tell you, the NYSASIM ain't no joke, y'all. And Baba Baruti's responses are on point. The NYSASIM is no joke. We as African people must rise up. It is who and what we are and what we're supposed to be. We must rise up. Rise, Africans. Rise, Africans, and unite across oceans of ignorance. Rise, Africans, and unite across mountains of CIA manipulations. Rise, Africans, and unite across generations of miseducation. Rise, Africans. Rise and unite. Your children are hungry, and you must feed them. Rise, Africans, and unite. The unification of African people, the Pan-African idea, the One Africa concept, all of these are vital. They're vitally important for African people. That's why on this program, I talk about every Monday and Wednesday. I don't know what other programs are doing. I have ideas. I know in Terrestrial Radio, they ain't doing nothing. We're constantly begging us to go out and vote and begging us to run for political office. Like, these things will change the dynamics for African people in its totality. Yes, I'm not going to argue about voting on a local level, what that can do to some degree, because you will still not have independence, self-determination, liberation, and sovereignty. You cannot do that here. Nowhere here. It cannot happen. The only place that it can take place is on the continent with our brothers and sisters who understand it and who move beyond and take in control of the land and resources from the Negroes, from those puppets, from those neocolonialists, from those weak individuals, through those despots, from those ignorant. That's when it will happen. And either it happens or eventually we die. And I know there are some people who don't believe it'll ever happen. There are people who feel that that's what shouldn't happen. That really our stake is here. What happens in Africa happens in Africa. So be it. Because of the distance and time and the cultural rearrangements, there's no connect. There are some who even argue we're different. You know, we're not African. Some have mentioned that we're indigenous. We're not African. Some have argued because of this situation that we're a different people because of miscegenation, integration, forced assimilation, all of those things. We're a different people. We're not African. Many of our people don't even want to use the word African. They want to be black. They want to be black. In fact, some don't even want to be black. They don't want to be African. They just want to be American. I'm an American. I'm an American like anybody else. I have a great job. I have a good neighborhood. My kids go to the school, and they're only the second black family to go to the school. Isn't that great? I'm an American. There's not even one other black family in my subdivision or in my cul-de-sac or in my gated community. I'm an American. I have a good job. I work for a defense contractor to keep America strong. And this situation that just came up with what Trump is doing. I love the fact that he mentioned that Obama was going to strike Iran before his re-election in 2012. And that's what he's doing. The kinds of words that you can describe Donald Trump in is just ridiculous. Like I said, I don't really talk about him that much, but it is ridiculous. It is. What a hypocrite. What a narcissistic fool. What an idiot. He was planning something. We got him. Yay! What was he planning? Don't just take my word for it. He was planning something. We had to take him out. So what we did, was not as an act of war. It was to save lives. That's what we did. What he did is to save lives. Jesus. You know, one thing is certain for us is that we are African people. We are African people. And what's important for African people is African culture. On this program, and what I've suggested that you do in this so-called new decade, this so-called new millennium, is to use the words that are more liberating. And when you hear those words, it gives you a better visualization of our situation. Because the European has promoted the fact that we were in servitude and continue to call us slaves. The fact that more human beings have been in servitude other than Africans, but Africans have become synonymous. When you hear the word slave, you automatically put our face on it. But that's the deal. If you're in a certain culture and they promote a particular language and a particular word that and there's association with that word and they keep using it again and again, then when you hear that word, that's what you'll see. It's just like Holocaust. If I say the word Holocaust, you automatically put the European Jew's face on it. Now, the European Jew has a word for that situation that they went through. And that is Shoah. And there's supposed to be a word that we have, and some have used it, Amangamizi. You know, aside from Holocaust or Maafa or Mfukani, Amangamizi. So there was different cultures and different words to describe a horrific, ugly, disastrous, anti-human event. But the word Holocaust is an English word. And so that could go on to any other situation, but it just so happens that the European Jews have co-opted that word, just like they have co-opted anti-Semitic. The European Jews are not Semitic. They're European. They're late converts to Judaism. Judaism is not it is a culture, yes, but it is not a race, because there's no such thing as race. They're a culture. They're a religious tradition. They're religious. Just like Muslims. Some people's religion is also their culture. And really, people form a culture and then form a religion to support that. European culture is supported by Christian religion. Christianity. No doubt about it. I got to get my brother on. His book is out. You know, Brother Jeremiah Kamara, his book is out, and you got to get the Holy Hell, you know. So, but we're going to talk about culture. The most important thing for African people is to never surrender your culture. This is our culture. We have been made ashamed, particularly in this country and even globally, of being African and African culture. We have been made to feel embarrassed, hurtful. Many of our people reject anything African. As I stated earlier, there's some of our people who say that we are not African. We are American. Or we are black. I made reference to last week saying that black and the black power movement. That's why another thing I'm trying to get us to move away from the word black. We're not black. If we all said, damn it, we African, whoa, what would that mean? What would that mean to the Negroes and all those scary individuals, but more importantly to European society? Because European society wants us to be black.
They don't care if we're American or not because they know they control it. And you ain't controlling nothing. But damn it, if you embrace being African and more of us embrace being African and that link begins to happen and that unity begins to happen, then damn it, they are in dire strait. They are in great fear because why? We will be in control of our land, in control of our resources, in control of our lives. That's why we must never surrender our culture. This installment of the Chicago Crusader, my good brother and friend, Dr. Conrad Worrell's column, is about never surrendering your culture. This is ours. Our late great ancestor, Dr. Asa Hilliard, Nana Belfour, I just read the Inye say somehow ironic, right? Believe me, it wasn't time like that. But that's how the spirit is. Nana Belfour. His book, The Maroon Within Us, once again reminds us of a major problem that we, as African people in America and throughout the diaspora and on the continent, are besieged by. Dr. Hilliard describes this problem as cultural surrender. In explaining the problem, Dr. Hilliard wrote, American Africans remain one of the very few groups in the United States who do not honor their own cultural traditions, sometimes even when they are honored by others. Continuing on this point, Dr. Hilliard states that if there is a major illness among American African people, it is that we increasingly honor and utilize our culture less. All great nations and people do the opposite. Why? Because we've been made to feel ashamed. Many of us believe that our situation began in our enslavement as if there was nothing happening before African people were taken by Europeans prior to that. As Dr. Hilliard further explains, cultural surrender is more than a matter of rejecting one's father's and mother's culture. It means that one accepts a new definition as a person. The culturally dependent person is a mere spectator, a receptacle for the creativities of others. To demand freedom from slavery only to use that freedom to commit oneself to a voluntary cultural servitude is to lose the chance to be human. Let me read that again to you. To demand freedom from captivity only to use that freedom to commit oneself to a voluntary cultural servitude is to lose the chance to be human, the chance to be who we are as a people. The erosion of many of our African cultural traditions and foundations are most evident in our family and in our community life. Far too many African people in America and on the continent and throughout the diaspora are getting away from the essence of family life. The cultural tradition of African family life is that of the extended family that centers itself on the rearing of children and caring for elders. Family life is the basis for which a people maintain their cultural traditions, traditions that are important to the survival of a people. The way we raise our children in the context of extended family life for African people was always connected to the overall development of the larger community. Because that is African, and because we live in America, which perpetuates individualism, materialism, greed, and violence, we fall prey just like everybody else. Well, there are some people who have came here, been here 30, 40 years maybe, longer, but because of the strong cultural traditions of those people, even though they came here, ours have been broken. We were denied the opportunity to practice and believe in our cultural ways. We've been trained to reject those concepts and those ways. Many of us who tried were either ostracized, discredited, or even killed. Dr. Hilliard writes in The Maroon Within Us, there have always been Africans, African people in America who have been both physically and mentally free. Always. There are less and less because now there are more and more African people, and the vast majority, unfortunately, of African people are indoctrinated because they are bombarded 24/7, 365 with images and notions of their own inferiority and their inability. They reject being African. But there are some of us who've always been physically and mentally free. Not always necessarily, but there are some of us who embrace that because some of us had to grow into that. Some of us had families, and that was part of the family tradition. Some of us had to learn it through various means. Some of us had to reject what was happening within our family to be strong enough to be and claim who we are. We have always had far too many of those who have yielded their bodies and worse, their souls to people and systems whose purpose it was to exploit, to take all and give nothing. In this context, Dr. Hilliard provides several reasons why this devastating trend of cultural surrender is taking place. He says, we have tended to accept certain false dichotomies, such as the following. Number one, we have tended to equate sophisticated technology with culture, believing that such technology is exclusively European, and that to affirm African culture is to reject technology. When you begin to understand the history of African people, classical African civilizations, contemporary African civilizations, Africa today, then you begin to understand there has always been a sense of possibility and technology. In spite of captivity, in spite of the threat of death, in spite of colonization, and still we have rise, and still we rise. African men and women, I don't know about you, if you're on Facebook, I know you've seen some brothers and sisters from the motherland who create beautiful things out of trash. Create beautiful things because of their minds and that ingenuity within them. Number two, we have tended to equate modern with technology and to value modern as if it were a cultural progress. At the same time, we have seen the affirmation of African and American African culture as a matter of retransgression. Further, we have seen African and American African culture as stagnant rather than dynamic and adaptive. Go online and go to drrenoco.com. The pictures that he has taken of all the many, over 100 some countries that he has looking for the African presence and looking at places on the continent, the countries, and many of the beautiful scenes and art and buildings and culture. But yet we have, because of Europeans, that's why, I've often said on this program, I don't hate anybody, it's the system that Europeans have created, giving themselves a top position with others at a lowest position, with us at the lowest position. And I don't back down from that at one bit. I don't back down from that. So I hate what the Caucasian has done. I hate the system that he's created. Number three, we have tended to equate European culture with wealth and American, African, and African culture with poverty. What is the constant image are you seeing? Here, they wouldn't tell you in a program of the tremendous amounts of mineral resources that Africa has. No, what they want to show you is the depths of poverty that Africa has. The people, children with flies on their face, people nomadic or just trying to go from one place to the other, you know, that's what they want to show you, the backwardness. They don't want to show you the cities, the beautiful cities that are in Africa. They don't want to show you the progress that has been made, but also to some of the things that has not been done that need to be done. So they want to give you that image. And then, of course, that image can't compete with what happens here in the West. But reason why the West was able to do what it has done is because of the stolen wealth of Africa. When you have a lot of resources, your imagination, whatever your imagination is, when you have unlimited resources and you have human resources, you create what you want to create. We did it back in ancient Kemet, but that wasn't captivity though. That wasn't enslavement. That's why the so-called Exodus did not happen, did not exist. There were no ancient people in Kemet of the time of the 18th dynasty of Ramesses II or any other damn time. There were no Hebrews under captivity. It didn't happen. It did not happen, but an Exodus must happen. We need an Exodus. We must get out of this. Exodus must happen. Number four, we tend to associate education with acquisition of all cultural forms of Europeans, and we find it hard to conceive of educated person who lives in African or American African culture. So if a person who espouses African and American African culture, wearing locks, wearing paraphernalia, if you're going to use that word, or jewelry and ox and Jim Yamyes and attire and so forth, we don't associate that individual with being educated. But he is the, and she is the most educated because she has acquired self-knowledge. Knowledge of who she is culturally, knowledge of who she is historically. It's the best knowledge, the most important knowledge. But because we have been trained to think of education and the acquisition of education in the forms of Europeans. Number five, we have tended to equate self-affirmation with the hatred of others. So if we do espouse ourselves, we do espouse being who we are, then there's an automatic hate. No. I said I hate Europeans because of what they have done to us and the culture that they have imposed upon us, making us believe that we have nothing. And so now we can be appendage of their culture because everything in their culture speaks to them. It is shaped and fashioned in their image and in their interests. And we wonder why. Our numbers, as far as it relates to achievement and progress within this culture, is so dismal. But those few, those Negro few who are in it, hey, man, ain't nothing wrong with it, man. I got mine. If you didn't get yours, it's your fault because the system is there, and, you know, and you can take advantage of it, man. Shoot, I'm getting mine. not understanding the European culture in itself is a very evil and destructive culture for them. Anytime you have a culture that doesn't look out for other human beings within it and promotes a selfish, greedy, murderous. I could go on. Number six, we have tended to equate religion with particular forms of European interpretation of Christianity and have not seen our people as religious or spiritual. Because Christianity, as it was formed, I'm not going to get into a damn debate about the origins of it. It's Eastern or damn that. I'm talking about who runs Christianity today. Who co-opted it? You can go back to the Nicene Conference. When Constantine said, we will conquer in this image. And the image he was talking about was the cross. And all the things that associated with it. And yet, you have a religion. You have a religion that says it's only 2,000 years old. And there are so many other religions that came before it that had a crucified Savior. They had all the other things. And the foundation, of course, in ancient Kemet was the story of Heru. But yet, all those are myths. All those are fairy tales. What I have is a historical fact. The resurrection. The virgin birth. All of these things are historical facts. They don't believe that shit, and neither should we. But we do. And we do globally. When you see the destruction Christianity has done to the continent. The worst, I'm not going to say that there is a worse or, because that's what I'm about to say, because the worst of the religions is Christianity. Even more so than Islam or any other. But they're all of them are detrimental. All of them are detrimental to African unity, African survival. All of them, they don't speak to African sovereignty. They don't speak to African independence. They're individualistic. They don't speak to that. We're going to take a break. When we come back from the break, we'll have more on this discussion. Well, let me know. Let me finish this right quick. I ain't got much left. I'll finish this, and then we'll take a break. Number seven. Generally, we have failed to study ourselves and to know our culture. Because we've been made to feel ashamed of it, even in schools that are supposed to be black, the HCBUs, they don't teach it. The HCBUs prepare you to do is just like all the other ones, to, you know, get a degree and hopefully you can beg some Caucasians for a position. They're not liberating education. They're not educating to develop the sovereignty that we need as African people. It's just preparing you and the others. It's not talking about coming together and how to build with one another. They're not talking about developing co-ops. They're not talking about developing communal societies. They're not talking about that. The challenges that African people face in America and throughout the world as we enter the 21st century is to create programs, strategies, and institutions that we will reclaim and preserve our rich culture. One such program that has emerged as one approach to preserving our culture and traditions aimed at our youth is the growing rites of passage movement. This movement seeks to place African and African people at the center of independently working with our young people. Children in rites of passage programs are generally taught aspects of our history that include our literary accomplishments, our accomplishments in music, science, and technology, and the spiritual concepts of African people that direct our moral and ethical behavior and treatment of others. As we look out and observe the African world community, we can see a common set of problems that all African people face. As a result of hundreds of years of exploitation by Europeans and others against African people, this exploitation has developed into a worldwide system of European, Caucasian, extremism, racism, and privilege. And Caucasian domination aimed at wiping out African culture. We must resist and refuse any efforts to wipe out our culture. I ain't talking about American African. I'm talking about African. I ain't talking about the culture of the slickness of this meism. I ain't talking about deviations. I ain't talking about the cultural genesis. I ain't talking about that. I'm talking about traditional African culture of respect for manhood, a respect for womanhood, helping to raise and nurture children, helping to care for elders, honoring our ancestors, understanding and knowing what it means to be African. That's what I'm talking about. Finally, Dr. Hilliard writes, culture surrender or cultural destruction leads inevitably to the loss of any possibility for a group of mobilization on its behalf. There can be no African, American African family in the absence of a cultural base. I'll repeat. That's why we don't have good family life, because we don't have good community life. When 70% of all the children that are born now are born without a father being present in that child's life. Now the sister, she now thinks that she has to be mother and father. The structure is, it's not, obviously, and I would, you know, go to the last breath of reclaiming and recapturing your story and restoring it, but you know that it has been fractured deeply. Brothers and sisters, we're going to take a break. When we come back from the break, we'll talk more about this. You can join this conversation at 215-490-9832. 215-490-9832. Brothers and sisters, you're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network, on timeforanawakening.com, and blacktalkradionetwork.com. We'll be right back. You can stay with us.
You are listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshie on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
You are listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Welcome back, brothers and sisters. Once again, you're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. We're here every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. And immediately following this program on Monday and Wednesday is the Black People Matrix from 1 to 3 with Brother Franklin Jones. And also on Mondays, we have Acres of Diamonds from 6 to 8 p.m. Right after Acres of Diamonds, Let's Buy Black 365 from 8 to 9. And then after that, Conversations, Reparations with Brother Jamoke and Sister Lacey from 9 to 10. On Tuesdays, Black Reality Think Tank with Dr. William Rogers from 8 to 10. And then also on Wednesdays from 8 to 10, Revive with Sister POC. On Thursdays, Relationships with Joya and Troy at 7 p.m. And then on Fridays, after my program, is Esoteric Review with Sister Marcy Lacey, Marcy Lee. Esoteric Review with Sister Marcy Lee from 1 to 2 on Fridays. And then on Sunday, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., it's again Revive with Sister POC. And then Sunday evening from 7 p.m. until 10, it is Time for an Awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. And then Monday through Friday, 10 p.m. Eastern to 12 a.m., it's the Warren Valentine Show right here on Time for an Awakening Media. And the number to call is 215-490-9832. 215-490-9832. Brothers and sisters, I'm talking about the importance of never, ever surrendering our culture of who we are and in adopting an alien and false culture that is destructive to us. Hold on. Culture is the most important thing. I don't use race. There's no such thing as race. There's cultures. And our culture is just as important as anybody else's. And it should not be co-opted. It should not be interpolated. It should not be destroyed. And damn it, we should not be the ones that are doing it. We have a caller, 602. Caller, 602, good afternoon.
Good morning, Brother Oshia. Good afternoon.
How you doing, man? How you doing, dear brother? How are you?
I'm doing good, good brother. I'm doing great.
Well, thank you, Marcus. Appreciate you listening and appreciate you calling.
Yes, good brother. So I was looking at how the media have selective amnesia. Now, you know, some of these black stars, now they are in Ghana. Or they probably just came from Ghana. Cardi B.
Right.
Rick Ross, I think Beyonce, and a couple of the, you know,
right.
Black stars.
Right.
But here is a total whiteout on the media. You don't hear anything. You don't hear anything about it, you know. They're very slick, you know what I'm
well,
saying?
Well, no, you're not going to hear anything on ABC, NBC, CBS, Fox, MSNBC, CNN, or any other news outlet that maybe that is controlled by us, you may see that or hear that. But you're not going to hear a damn thing about any prominent Africans here in America going over to Africa and understanding the 400 years of separation or understanding the connection that we need to have. You're not going to get that, you know?
Yep. And they asked Cardi B, they said to Cardi B, so what do you think of Africa? Cardi B said, man, they don't know. He said, our people don't know. They don't know how beautiful Africa is. You know? And I heard this morning that she came back and she even talking, even more saying, look, we need to get a plane load of our people
right.
to get out of here.
Right.
So, you know, I ain't so up on these stars, but at least the young people look to these stars.
Yeah.
See, the young people look to them.
Yeah.
If you can get some of the young people looking in that direction, you know, it's, you know, that's the positive I took out of it. You know what I'm saying? That's the but. Well, that, get even some of the black media, Oshie.
Yeah.
Say, Oshie, they're scared. They don't even. Oh yeah.
Oh yeah, because some of the some of that media relies on advertisement, because they rely on that advertisement. It's just like terrestrial radio, you know. Mm-hmm. They got big corporate sponsorships or big corporate advertisers, so they can't be as deeply African as they should and could be because of those corporate ties. And so they'll continue to give you the same old, some music, some laughter, some buffoonery, caroonery, you know, and of course voting, and of course some theology, religious Christianity. So they'll give you those things, but they're not going to talk about the hard issues that are affecting African people. And it's shown the hell ain't going to talk about the destruction that Europeans have done and continue to do to prevent African people from coming together. It's not going to happen, you know.
Our duty to keep on keeping on and keep,
all right,
and
there,
keep
brother.
Raising the fire. Anyway, brother, I'm here. I'm listening.
Right on. And let me say this to all you. Right. Let me say this to you. For almost 2 years I've been on and 2 years you've been calling and so forth, I really do appreciate you listening. I really do appreciate you calling and contributing. So please continue to do so, Brother Marcus.
And we appreciate you, my brother, because you give some sanity in this madness, in this nut house that we live in. You bring some sanity. So I look forward to hearing you, my brother. Thank you.
Thank you, Brother Marcus. All right.
Take care.
646-646.
What's happening, though?
What's happening, Jay? Hey, Jay, I got a couple things for you right quick. One is a brother who is in the Republic of New Africa. He wants your number and name because you said that it's dead, and I guess he took issue with it, but I guess he wants to talk to you about it. It's Brother Jamoke Infanteo. He's been on the program. He's also a part of the conversation reparations on Monday evenings at 9 p.m. Eastern. And so if you want me to, I will. If not, I won't, you know, if it's okay. Not? Okay.
Is he on tonight?
I'm not sure because he's not on every Monday, even though I advertise him like he is on every Monday. I think he's on the first. He should be on the night. Yes.
Okay, check this out. Let me listen to him tonight.
Okay.
To see if I want to deal with the madness.
Okay.
Because
sure.
I know it comes with that, but after the night, I'll let you know.
Okay, that's cool.
You know what I mean? Because sure. You know, it ain't no big castle, but it could be coming.
No, and I understand that. I understand that, Jay. There was something else, too, but I want to thank you also, too, for listening and calling in, Brother Jay. I appreciate that. You know I do.
Hey, Oshie, it's nothing like you on the air, my brother. I'm just going to keep it real. You know, I was very impressed with the sister on Friday.
Good.
It seems like she has a lot of potential.
Yes.
Now, I would say this. In regards to your boy, Franklin Jones, I think you need to bring him back home, brother. Seriously. he needs more of your tutelage on how to do his thing. Because, listen, we got to be honest. And we got to be truthful about certain things. Sometimes we need to go back and regroup and do certain things to be able to bring forward a certain message. Because whenever the message becomes repetitive, it's not a message that people are going to get. Because after a while, I could say, well, I haven't tuned into this show for 3 or 4 months, and I'm tuning in today, and I'm hearing the same thing I heard 3 or 4 months. Then that means that you're not evolving and you're not taking your audience to the next level. And I mean, I like Franklin. I respect the brother. But listen, man, you got to evolve. You got to have audience participation. You gotta move forward. And I'm just going to be frank with you. He needs more of your tutelage. Because there's one thing about your show, O. You never hear the same thing in the same analysis every single time I turn off. I can always expect something new and broader and different. Or you're going to expound on that you may have previously talked about to the next level. And that's what we need in our development and growth. But that is what it is. But,
yeah.
You know,
well, I appreciate that, Jay. I appreciate that, because what I'm trying to do is that whatever the subject, I'm looking at it not from my perspective, not my opinion. Once again, I don't give you my opinion because my opinion is deeply profane. What I give you is based on the scholarly research that I've been able to retain, some of the information that I've read from our great scholars or seen from videos of our great scholars and historians. And that's what I give you. I give you an African-centered perspective, for real. You know, how it affects African people.
And Oshie, you do a hell of a job of it too, brother. You do a job.
Well, I try.
You make one want to think and act and understand what it is to be an African.
Yeah.
You want to be able to look at how you can evolve into your Africanness. And this is why the question I want to ask you is this. What is really going on with all of these Negroes, the Carly B's, the No Mac Martins, the Ricky Rosses, and the rest of these so-called African entertainers going over to Africa? Like, is it just in all truthfulness a dog and pony show? Or is it something of real value?
Well, let's see. Let's see what begins to materialize. I honestly think...
What is the reason for it in the first place? Just to be able to say...
Right, I think it was more...
I'm an African-American,
right,
and I'm going back home with the intentions of what? What are you going home for? As a tourist? As an investor? It got to be a reason why you're going home.
But
if
see,
your
it's...
behavior is but, not African... Then you basically, as they say, faking the funk.
But if they're faking the funk, but the bottom line is that they're going, and now let's see what happens. Because you've gone, what has happened since you've come back? What is your attitude? What is your mentality? What are you trying to do? Are you trying to truly create that link? Now, Ludacris and his family are now citizens of Gabon, you know. I don't know how many were of his family, but they're citizens of Gabon. And all these countries have the ability to offer dual citizenship, you know, to American Africans who want to go to those particular countries and to become a citizen and hopefully invest in and build something, you know. But also, too, the fragmentation of Africa and African countries is problematic as far as I'm concerned. Until we begin to deal with the unification of Africa, not just a country, but the unification of Africa, then some of these things will become real. Because right now it's still, this country's doing this, that country's doing that, this country is, you know, all of these divisions, which of course benefit those who are outside of African countries to come in and manipulate and undermine, you know, those African countries for their resources, you see. So until we can say, hey, you know, because of all these entertainers that have come, now we're going to develop a serious African unification on the continent and connecting those with brothers and sisters throughout the diaspora for us to truly come home to invest, to truly come home physically to help build, then that's a whole different stuff. That's a whole different subject. But you just going to Africa and say, oh, this is beautiful. I'm going to put some money in this and I'm going to get me a house overlooking on top of a mountain, overlooking vast amounts of land or waterfalls. And so all that scenery is there. You know it's there.
Hey, I tell you, man, when I was in Africa, I had the opportunity to be in one of those rich, rich, rich people homes.
Uh-huh.
Let me tell you something, brother. It ain't no joke.
Oh, no. Well, no. Because when you have... Yeah, but see, Jay, when you have that kind of resource, which is deep, unlimited resource, and then whatever it is you can imagine. Because I've been to people's homes that they're not rich, but they have beautiful homes.
Hey,
on the ocean, beautiful homes. Yep. And, yeah. They ain't rich.
I mean, think about it. When you at a certain status in Africa economically, you live a whole different life than the rest of the people. Because in all truthfulness, most Africans live like these Yorubas do in the Appalachian Mountains.
Yes, and you're right.
To that nature. You know what I mean? We got to be honest about that.
Yes, but you're right.
The thing is, if you just going over there to exploit the people and then bring that sick, twisted culture that you present here, then you might as well stay here. You're behind.
Yeah.
Yeah, for all you're concerned, because it ain't saying nothing to me, brother, because I don't respect it. You know,
well,
you know what I'm saying? If you're going to Africa, you got to go there to develop and grow and build forward something for our people to be able to sustain so that we could educate our people into sovereignty and control of the land and the resources so that everyone should be able to eat. That's what a lot of people don't understand when we talk about Libya and Gaddafi. Always remember this about Libya and Gaddafi before they murdered him. The people in Libya were eating and being educated. Even though there were still sections where, you know, there was poverty, yes. But
there wasn't poverty in Libya.
Right. You know what I mean?
Right.
They just wasn't rich, but they did.
Right.
They were able to educate their children.
Right.
They was able to do all those things. And after what this bastard Obama did to the Libyan people and to Gaddafi, Libya is basically a cesspool.
It's terrible, man.
About it.
It's terrible.
Tell the truth about the history and what the country is now compared to what it was.
But see, Jay,
of education for women and everyone.
But you're right. But that's the European period, particularly of late. He doesn't do anything to benefit. He comes in and destroys. That's him. I mean, some time ago, he said, well, we'll build this, especially during colonization, because it benefited him. But now, if I come in, I'm coming in and I'm just taking. I ain't saying nothing to nobody. I'm just coming in and taking for my benefit. I'm going to destabilize you. I just found out over the national news that they finally took Venezuela. I'm very heartbroken by it. I'm very despondent by it.
Let me sit back in like 15 minutes, all right?
All right, Jay. 602, good afternoon.
Yeah. I just want to say this here, you know, because, you know, sometimes, you know, your mere presence, you know, our mere presence in Africa can make a change, you know.
Right.
Because, you know, when we go to Africa, we ain't going to go crap in the bush now. You know what I'm saying? We're going to say, hey, we're going to bring some water up in here. Bring some sanitation up in here. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So we're not going to live like the way it is. So just our mere presence there, we're going to bring up the standard of
there you go.
Do.
And that's it.
That's what I've seen.
That's what I've seen in my years going back and forth, particularly to Ghana, and seeing some of the people who now live in Ghana and what they have been able to do, the homes they have built, the properties that they've managed. That's what they are doing, and that's what they should do.
That's what they should do. What I do fear is a similar situation that happened in Liberia, like what happened back in the days.
Yeah.
What they did in the day was wrong. You
know, right. And no, don't doubt.
Establish a lordship over those people.
That's right.
No, let us have a joint venture with our people and we all come up together.
That's right.
Because if we go and put a lordship over there, you guaranteed 100 years from now, we're going to have another problem. So, yeah. You know,
that's
we
right.
Have to look at it, be like the Sankofa bird,
yeah.
Looking back and look forward at
that's
the same
right.
time.
That's right.
Anyway, thank you.
Good All night. Right, brother. Thank you for that, Brother Marcus. Thank you.
All right.
The Atlanta Black Star, I haven't taken too much from the Atlanta Black Star in some time, but they had an article that appeared in 2014, which is... which is now 6 years ago, January of 2014. 10 hard truths African people try to avoid. These 10 hard truths. The enslavement of African people and its deep-seated impact continue to stall the progress of African people in America and throughout the African world. The monumental task of advancing our people interests beyond the effects of our captivity and colonization require that we accept a few hard truths to get ahead. In the words of the Honorable Marcus Mosiah Garvey, if you, African people, cannot do what other men have done, what other nations have done, what other cultures have done, then you will have to die. Marcus Garvey said, if you, African people, cannot do what other men have done, what other nations have done, what other cultures have done, then you will have to die. You are in the way, and your genocide, your destruction is being planned as we speak. Number one, color blindness is a disempowering narrative. To teach African people to not see culture is intrinsically racist society, an intrinsically racist society, is to disarm our people from properly identifying the threats organizing around them. One key threat that African people face is global, European, Caucasian extremism, racism, and privilege, and its culture-based ideology and its institutions. European Caucasian extremism, racism, and privilege is in everything they do. Just like Dr. Francis Cress Welsing said, it's in all areas of people activity. It's based ideology and in institutions. Psychologist Stephanie Freiberg writes in When the World is Colorblind, American indigenous people are invisible. A diversity science approach. With color blindness, the indigenous people are invisible. They put them on reservations. And even when they wanted to do something on those reservations, they just did it. They have no respect. When they wanted to run that pipeline, first they wanted to run it to Bismarck, South Dakota, and said, no. The Caucasians who live there said, no, you are not going to do that. They said, well, okay, then we'll just run it into indigenous people's land. We ain't going to ask them for permission. We ain't going to do it. We're just going to do it. And even though they resisted, and some Caucasians joined the fight, and others joined the fight, and every indigenous people nation came to join the fight, once Trump was elected, it was over. They did it regardless of who said what. In a colorblind world, Caucasians who are unlikely to experience the negative effects of their culture can actively ignore the continued significance of racism in American society, justify the current social order, and feel more comfortable with their relatively privileged standing in a society. This is theirs, not ours. This is theirs, not ours. And in theirs, we're always going to be marginalized. We're always going to be relegated to a subservient status. Number two, we believe we are stronger because we turned the other. I can't even read that. We believe we're stronger because we turned the other cheek. We are weak. Not strong when we align ourselves with the most pacifist verses in the Bible. As one of the most religious groups of people in the world, religious, not spiritual, religious, Christianity, Islam, all these other religions. There is a little reason why we remain at the bottom economically and otherwise. The following biblical verse would replace the turn the other cheek mentality. And that verse is Luke chapter 22, verse 36. Jesus is quoted as saying, "But now," he said, "if you have a wallet." See, that's what I'm saying. Did they have a wallet back then? There's some credit cards in the wallet or a backpack. Shucks. Let me read this. Okay. The following biblical verse should replace the turn the other cheek mentality. Luke chapter 27, verse 36. There ain't a damn thing in that book that we should deal with. The whole damn book should be discarded, kicked to the damn curb. But let me finish. In Luke chapter 26, verse 36, Jesus is quoted as saying, "But now," he said, "if you have a wallet or a pack, take it. And if you don't have a sword, sell your robe to buy a sword." Ashe. Ashe. Man. The Atlanta Black Star. 10 hard truths African people try to avoid and should not. This is from a few years ago. Number three, education is not race or culture. Education is neutral. Yeah. From kindergarten to the university level, the Western educational system is designed to teach students of all cultures to value and propagate the interests and culture of Western European people. Period. Professors of African Studies, Dr. Leonard Jeffries, said in 1991 speech at the Empire State African Arts and Cultural Festival in Albany, New York, "I think we have to understand that although we like to think of education as neutral and politically neutral, education is part of the European, Caucasian, extremism, racism, and privilege system." In other words, the Western educational system is a participating and supporting institution within a broader global system of what Europeans perpetuate. It's in everything they do. Number four, American African feminist ideology is based on fantasy. It is a fantasy because it does not deal with the reality of how African women become second-class citizens in the world. Contrary to popular belief, prior to the Arab and European captivity of African people, most African women lived in a matriarchal society where African power and influence was institutionalized. Did the African woman first start being abused by Caucasian supremacy in the 60s, the Harlem Renaissance? No. It was when the first African woman lost her husband to captivity. Then they came back for her. Then they came back for her children. Then they came back for the rest of her family. African women are abused in this European society because African men are powerless in this European society. The oppression of African women historically and contemporarily is not based primarily on gender, but rather than on culture. And there's a hatred of African culture in European society. Today, both Caucasian men and women benefit from the abuse and dehumanization of African women and men across the globe. Number five, we have accepted the status quo that Europeans have always and will always control the world. Dr. Amos Wilson writes in his book, African-Centered Consciousness Versus the New World Order, Garveyism in the Age of Globalism. The assimilationist often accepts, consciously and unconsciously, the idea that the Caucasian man will continue to rule the world. He bases his ideology and political action on the concept that somehow our destiny is not to overthrow the Caucasian man, that our destiny is not to suppress and bring these people under control, but to heal them in some sort of way, to convert them, to even become part of them. Our destiny becomes not one that sees the very system and the very ideology upon which these oppressors move as one of sickness and insanity, and therefore in need of replacement by African-centered and healthy ideology that comes out of our own self-knowing. This leadership wants to accept this sickness as normal and to follow these pathological beings into self-destruction. You know, sometimes I just want to elaborate, but sometimes these great scholars and historians and our ancestors and our elders, they're on point so tough, all you can do is just nod your head or say ashe, but more importantly, do that, be that, act that, internalize that. Number six, we have fooled ourselves into adapting the worst traits of our oppressor and frown upon those who attempt to emulate the better parts. Dr. Amos Wilson again bravely stated in a lecture on economics and nationhood, if you thought like Caucasians, you would want your own nations, to control your own neighborhoods, to control your own economy, to have your own military, to control the resources of your own ground. If you thought like Caucasians, that's what they've done. That's what they did. They came out of being land poor, resource poor, and people poor. Coming out of that dark age, that medieval age, when the only light in Europe was being shown and shined in the western part of Europe of Spain and Portugal. For 700 years, the Moors and others were giving information to the backward Europeans. Then they came out of it, and they began to venture out. They're explorers. Marco Polo goes to China, comes back with pasta, because everybody thinks that pasta is Italian. Marco Polo was Italian. Everybody thinks pasta is Italian, spaghetti and rotuccini and all of those stuff. But pasta is really Chinese. That's like they think rice is Chinese, but rice is African. But what Marco Polo came back with was even deeper, was the ability to kill, gunpowder that Chinese used for celebration, but Europeans fashioned superior weaponry. That is what helped facilitate their rise. Because you and I both know, man to man, they can't hang. Man to man, and nowhere can they hang. But what they have and what they have done, and I've said and you heard me say it if you listen to this program, what they've always had is a better way to kill your ass. From back when they threw a rock at you, to a spear, to a sword, to a crossbow, to a catapult, to other forms of modern weaponry, to this day when you can have a gun. One person can kill 1,000 people in a minute. Just mow them down. Number seven, the senseless killing of Trayvon Martin and all the other killings that will continue. Violence in the community, in the American African community, exists for many reasons. However, many psychologists agree that self-hatred is a factor. Dr. Amos Wilson elaborates again. The problem with African on African violence is the problem of cultural misorientation, self-alienation, and self-hatred. We are seeing manifestations of African on African violence is an emulation of the cultural ways of our oppressor. We have internalized his ways. You know, when I hear people talk about, you know, all this things that we do wrong without understanding how, you know, it has somehow they're saying that they can rise above this because they did. Understand, dear brothers and sisters, If you have your right mind, if you have released the vice grip that the European has on your mind, and if you know that tool, once the vice grip is set, the way you have released it is that there's that knob at the end of the handle, and you turn that knob because you required knowledge of yourself. You studied. You looked at our scholars and our historians. You looked at the positive things about ourselves culturally and historically, and you exemplified that. And now that vice grip is released, and now you can see the Caucasian for who and what he is, but you don't challenge them because there ain't a damn thing you can do. You challenge ourselves. You challenge yourself and each other. And you be the example for them. Yes, there are a lot who will not look at you and feel good about who and what you have become. But damn it, you do it anyway. Dr. Wilson elaborates, the problem with African on African violence is the problem of cultural misorientation, self-alienation, and self-hatred. What we are seeing manifest with this violence is an emulation of the cultural ways of the European. We have internalized the European ways. Psychologist, psychiatrist Dr. James Gillian asserts in Violence, Reflections on a National Epidemic, that violence is caused by shame and humiliation. You feel it. Because of your condition, you get high, you get drunk, and those feelings come out even worse in you. And you see it on a, you're bombarded with it 24/7, 365, with images and notions of who you are in your community and the destruction of every damn major city in this country where we are. The bad neighborhoods that we live in because of the lack of resources that we have. To further exacerbate the state of affairs, African people lack the institutional power to properly retaliate when violence by another culture occurs in our community, and cannot significantly improve conditions for the masses of our people because we don't have the resources, such as low socioeconomic status, social deprivation, inadequate education, high unemployment, and the unjust criminal industrial complex. Every major social ill in this society has always been, no, I'm going to say always, I can't speak to that, but has been more profound in us than anybody else. Unemployment, underemployment, education, miseducation, health issues, you name it. Mass incarceration, statistically more profound than us than anybody else. No matter how hard we try to protect our immediate families from the impact of European, Caucasian extremism, racism, and privilege, if the collective interests of all African people are not addressed, we're all in danger. We're all in danger. But see, once again, what is America? America perpetuates what? Individualism, materialism, greed, and violence. So if you want to be an American, you ain't thinking about no other Africans. You ain't thinking about what happens in the community. Hell, you're out of it. I got out of there. I don't even want to even drive in there. I don't even have to go that way. I live in a nice subdivision, you know, a nice gated community. I live in Atlanta. No, we don't have any supermarkets of our own. They just built a nice strip mall because they know there's a lot of us over here. And so they built this strip mall so we can go over there and spend our money. No, not one thing in there is really owned by us. But I'm quite sure our kids can get a job or two. And then, of course, they close it down because they do what the hell they want to do. Wow, y'all. Race-based organization works. Our success thrives on platforms and institutions built and maintained by Caucasians. Tomorrow, if America was resegregated, we would be lost, destitute, and at war with each other, more so than we are right now. If the Caucasian said, y'all over here, we're going to be over here, fend for yourself. Fend for yourself. Instead of saying, you know what? Thank you. Brothers and sisters, here's what we're going to do. We're not going to be down with greed and materialism. We're not going to be down with violence. We're going to be down with being cooperative. We're going to be down with loving ourselves and loving each other, trusting ourselves and trusting one another. That's what we're going to be down with. It's easy, but it's very hard, isn't it? It sounds so easy, but it's very hard. To end on a positive note, despite the many perils of European, Caucasian extremism, racism, and privilege, African people would be significantly better off if we were organized around a central objective, the survival of our culture. That's what we started out with. We must not surrender our culture. Our culture is vitally important of who we are. Europeans and Arabs are two of the most recent successful examples of people organizing along cultural lines above national identity. The French and British have historically been at odds culturally and politically, but however, they quickly unite to fight against any other non-Caucasian people. When a European came out of that dark age, medieval age, and they said to them, we may war amongst ourselves, but we're going to come together on those who are outside of us. We're going to be very clear on that. When they had the Berlin Conference of 1884-85, I'm quite sure there was a disagreement here or there. But the bottom line, they were there to do one thing, and that was to carve up Africa so everybody can get a piece. Everybody could get a piece of the resources, both human and material, to make Europe great, to finance Europe. Point blank. No other reason for this conference. The only thing about this Berlin conference here in Berlin, Germany, is everybody walk away with a piece. I know there's some tiny country that may get a big piece of Africa that is 100 times bigger than its country, but we'll manage it. We'll take from it because we have superior weaponry. We have all of the Caucasian men believe in their supremacy. All the Caucasian men and women. And many Caucasians believe that what they did was justified because of their religion. They were spreading their religion and spreading the modernization and spreading. I tell you, sometimes it makes you want to holler. Makes you want to holler. Throw up both your hands. We, as African people, and I'll say it, and I've consistently said it, and there are many other African people, because I'm not saying anything new. Everything that I say has been stated by African scholars and historians, African elders and ancestors. Because I'm going to tell you right about now, I really want to go off. I really do. I want to cuss so damn bad. Because, see, I don't blame us. I put the blame where it squarely belongs. On the European for devising a system that has try to erase the memory of us as African people and to put into us that we're something different here in America. And many of our people have bought into that idea that we're somehow something different. We are in a terrible situation. A situation, dear brothers and sisters, that begs for us to release that vice grip. They have imposed, Europeans have imposed this upon us. And it's so deep that we make, that many of us think it is something natural that we have done this. I'll be getting ready to make way for our good brother, Brother Franklin Jones, and the Black People Matrix. You know, I'm going to continue, as sometimes I sound very upbeat and very fresh, and sometimes when you are dealing with this, become very solemn and very introspective, because it's tough. It's tough. But let me say this to you, and you be clear, because I'm clear. I believe in African independence, in African self-determination, in African liberation, in African sovereignty. And everything that I do works towards that end. Yes, I'm also a person of history, and I deal in reality. I also know sense of possibility. So us not being in our right minds, we can't see this. Many of our people don't have a damn clue. I'm going to get away, make room for Brother Franklin Jones, you know, because I'm going to give him, at least give him a good chance. A lot of times he's, you know, trying to get, just trying to get it right. I want to thank Queen Ali, thank her for all. This past Kwanzaa season, I really appreciate you, Queen. I love the Kwanzaa season. We had a good one this year. Brother Kenneth Zaki at the Art Exchange, the Shrine of the Black Madonna, all of them. Good Kwanzaa celebration this year. Hopefully that some people who witnessed the Kwanzaa celebration, maybe they put something on their minds. We end this program, like we end all of our programs, with the words of Stephen Biko. The most potent weapon in the hands of the oppressor is the minds of the oppressed. This program is dedicated and committed to helping to free the African mind. But not just the M-I-N-D, but the M-I-N-E, because under the feet of African people lies all of the resources that everybody wants, think they can't do without, and they sure as hell don't want to pay for it. Brothers and sisters, it is ours. Let's come together to control the land, the resources, and the hearts and minds of our people. Brothers and sisters, Shem Hotep means go in peace. Isante Sana means thank you. Bibi Fahodie. Bibi Fahodie means our victorious destiny. Brothers and sisters, Abibi Fahodie. We will be victorious. See you on Wednesday. Peace, family.